Welcome to the Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Trucking Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Trucking, Avery Weiss. As Avery presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading the PDF or PowerPoint of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF and PowerPoint is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads for the Trucking Market Update, as well as the weekly Rail Market Update with Todd Tronowski and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Welcome to FTR's weekly Trucking Market Update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 213 for the week of May 15th, 2023. Before we start, a reminder that you can download a PDF with graphics related to this discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. Before we get into the usual weekly data and then, of course, the monthly data, let's look at the latest information from the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration's Drug and Alcohol Clearinghouse. And that data implies that the hiring of drivers holding commercial driver's licenses recently has been essentially the strongest since the clearinghouse launched back in January of 2020. Now, most of you know, but just as a reminder, motor carriers hiring CDL drivers must conduct pre-employment queries of the clearinghouse to ensure that the drivers that they are planning to hire do not have positive drug testing results or refusals to take a test. In March, carriers conducted 244,437 pre-employment queries. That number probably means very little to you, but what's important is that it is second only to nearly 246,100 that were conducted in August of last year as being the highest since the clearinghouse began. So that indicates a pretty high number. Now, queries had fallen slightly in February from a January total that before March had been the second highest number of queries. Now, high level of queries does not necessarily mean that motor carriers are increasing the size of their driver forces, because turnover obviously can lead to higher queries as well. However, if turnover indeed is responsible for the increase, or at least a big share of it, that would still imply that the level of freight demand is significant, because otherwise carriers would not be trying to replace those drivers. Okay, one more thing about the clearinghouse report for March is the actual numbers of violations. We calculated that as more than 5,300 violations reported at the clearinghouse. That is the highest number since August, just as the pre-employment queries were. As of April 1st, 180,664 drivers have been flagged with a violation. Of that number, nearly 72%, or more than 129,000, are still barred from driving. So that is a pretty significant number that have been removed from the driver population over the last almost 3.5 years. In fact, it's roughly 3.7% of all drivers, unique drivers, queried during that period of time. Okay, let's talk about diesel prices, which fell again in the latest week, although not by as much as they have been falling in the past couple of weeks. The national average price declined 2.5 cents to $3.89.7 a gallon during the week ended May 15th. Over the last 15 weeks, diesel prices have risen only once, and the total drop in prices during that period has been nearly 73 cents a gallon. And if we cast a wider net, if we go back the 47 weeks since diesel hit a record of $5.81 a gallon, diesel has increased during that time only nine times out of 47. Diesel prices fell on average in all regions in the latest week. Decreases ranged from only 0.4 of a cent in the Midwest to just over 13 cents a gallon in New England, where, by the way, diesel prices are now nearly $2.19 lower than they were just a year ago. Looking at the factors that typically drive diesel prices, we sort of see a mixed picture. Crude prices remain in the low $70 per barrel range. That should, at a minimum, keep prices from rising significantly. However, distillate inventories keep falling. U.S. distillate stocks have been declining for about 2 months and are now at their lowest level since October. Unlike what we saw in October and May of last year, as well, the decrease in distillate stocks is not concentrated in a single region as it was on the East Coast during those two periods. Rather, multiple regions are seeing steady declines in inventories. So the question is whether those decentralized and fragmented instances of declines are going to have the same effect on pricing that the more concentrated decline did in the East Coast. I guess we will see over the next few weeks. Okay, let's talk about the spot market for the week ended May 12th. That's week 19 of the year. Each of the principal trucking segments in the spot market saw lower broker-posted spot rates in the truckstop.com system during the week. Refrigerated rates gave back nearly half the gains that they had achieved over the past 2 weeks. Dry van rates continued their downward slide with their 15th decrease of the year and the 9th in the last 10 weeks. Flatbed rates fell for a second straight week for the first time since January. This week's International Road Check inspection event almost certainly will push up rates in all segments, however. The total broker-posted rate fell 1.6 cents. The total market rate was 22% below the same week last year and just a tenth of a percent above the five-year average. Now, last year was the first year the International Road Check occurred during week 20 of the year. What that means is that the five-year average really does not account for Road Check being in that week. That should mean that the sharp increases we expect during the current week would almost certainly push rates above the five-year average, at least for one more week, and quite possibly for a few more. Okay, let's look at rates by segment. Dry van rates eased just over a penny, which is about the size of the prior week's decrease. Although rates have increased only once in the past 10 weeks, the decreases have actually been pretty small in recent weeks, so it's more of a flattening out phenomenon than it is a continued search for a bottom. Rates were nearly 24% below the same week last year and about 12% below the five-year average. Refrigerated spot rates fell 8.5 cents after rising more than 17 cents total in the previous 2 weeks. Rates were about 16% below the same 2022 week and more than 9% below the five-year average. Flatbed spot rates declined nearly 2 cents, and that was after the prior week's drop of more than 4 cents. Rates are about 23% below the same week last year, but they're still about 3% above the five-year average for the week. Let's look at volume. Total load activity dipped 1% after falling 5.7% in the prior week. Volume was almost 49% below the same week last year and nearly 31% below the five-year average. Dry van loads ticked up 0.6%. Volume was more than 42% below the same week last year and about 28% below the five-year average. Refrigerated loads fell more than 6%, following the gain of nearly 8% in the prior week. However, it is notable that the gain in the prior week and the decline in the current week were largely driven by activity in the Southeast. So even though total loads in refrigerated were down 6%, actually they were up in all other regions besides the Southeast. In any event, volume was more than 43% below the same week last year and nearly 26% below the five-year average. And then finally, flatbed loads barely budged, ticking up just 0.2%. Volume was more than 55% below the same week last year and about 37% below the five-year average for the week. Load activity was up in the Midwest, in the Southeast, but down in all other regions. Let's wrap up the weekly data with a quick look at unemployment benefits. First-time claims for benefits jumped by 22,000, seasonally adjusted, to 264,000. That is the highest level since October of 2021. On an unadjusted basis, claims also rose sharply, but they were not especially high compared to recent weeks and months. Meanwhile, continued claims for benefits rose by 12,000 to 1.8 million. Ongoing claims were higher in early March, but otherwise were the highest since December 2021 on a seasonally adjusted basis. However, unadjusted continued claims were actually the lowest since mid-December of last year. Okay, let's get into the monthly data, and we only have a couple of sets of that, and both relate to prices. We'll start with consumer inflation, which accelerated relative to March in April, but it was cooler than it had been much of the time during 2021 and 2022. The consumer price index for all items increased 0.4% month over month. That followed a 0.1% gain in March. The index for shelter was the largest contributor to the rise in the all-items CPI, but its gain, which was also 0.4% month over month, was actually the smallest for that category since January. Other gains occurred in used cars and trucks and in gasoline. And falling gas prices, by the way, had been the principal factor, at least one of them, in why inflation was so weak in March. For the second straight month, the food index was flat month over month as a decline in pricing for food at home, in other words, grocery stores and similar locations, offset an increase in food away from home, i.e. restaurants. The 12-month change in the all items index CPI was 4.9%. That is the smallest comparison in 2 years. Now, if we exclude the volatile food and energy sectors, the increase actually was the same. It was 0.4%. The 12-month change for that category was 5.6%. That matches a couple of other months that we've seen for the lowest period since November of 2021. Okay, let's look at inflation at the producer level. We have more to talk about here because there are some items that are specific to freight transportation. After easing in March due to energy and food, the producer price index, or PPI, for final demand ticked up 0.2% in April. The 12-month change of 2.3% is the smallest comparison since January of 2021. Now, most of the month-over-month increase in the PPI resulted from final demand services, which rose 0.3%. A 1.7% drop in the final demand transportation and warehousing services offset gains elsewhere. Excluding food, energy, and trade services, the PPI for final demand also moved up 0.2%. The 12-month change was 3.4%. So, as you might imagine, when I mentioned that there was a 1.7% drop in the PPI for transportation and warehousing services, the freight transportation services PPIs were uniformly lower. They were led by long-distance specialized trucking, which fell 2.7%, and general freight truckload, not too far behind at a 2.6% drop. Specialized trucking PPI was down 2.1% year-over-year, and that's actually the first year-over-year decline we've seen in that category since January 2021. That's certainly not true for general freight truckload, where the PPI was down 19.1% year over year and has been negative year over year for quite some time. The producer price index for LTL declined 1.4% and was down 5.5% year over year. Rail intermodal eased just 0.4%, but was down 3.3%. That is the first year over year deficit since February of 2021. The PPI for freight brokerage declined 1.8% and was down 26.6% year over year. We also look for signs of industrial strength or lack thereof at what's going on with commodities, and there we're seeing some mixed results. The aluminum sheet producer price index declined 2.1%. That's the largest decline since October. On the other hand, the producer price index for steel mill products rose 3.6%, and that is the largest month-over-month gain since May of last year. Okay, let's recap some key takeaways for the week. CDL hiring activity was strong in March. Diesel prices fell again in the latest week. Spot rates fell heading into International Road Check Week, which, of course, is this week. Initial claims for unemployment benefits were the highest since October 2021, seasonally adjusted. Consumer inflation advanced 0.4% in April. Producer-level inflation ticked up 0.2%. And the producer price indexes for freight transportation services were uniformly weaker in April. Next week is our monthly look at a wide range of important economic indicators, including industrial production and manufacturing output, retail sales, inventories, residential construction, and sales of existing homes. Plus, of course, we'll take our usual look at diesel prices and the spot market for truck freight. That's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update, episode 213 for the week of May 15th, 2023. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we hope you will join us.
That's it for this week's Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF and PowerPoint of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and railcar. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.